To Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay, but we're going to go to God's Word. We've been going into this series on biblical hospitality called Welcome Home, and we're several weeks into this series, and I hope you've been encouraged by it. I know that's a challenging series, as some of us need to kind of get out of our box a little bit as we seek to reach out to our neighbors and our loved ones, our family, our friends, and our coworkers. So at this time, our kids are dismissed to go to our children's ministry. We want to thank God for each of our kids and all those that volunteer so faithfully in that area. And if you're a guest with us, welcome. We're so glad you came here with us. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can just listen in. But we each week want to go to God's Word, as we know that God's Word changes our hearts and minds. And so whether or not you have a hard copy or you have an app, whatever you're using, great. We want to make sure that we're diving in. We're in Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 16 here, just three verses here, right from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this: "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let's bow our heads and pray as we seek the Lord during this time. Lord, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. God, you are a good God. And we thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending us Jesus to rescue us, to redeem us from our sins, to give us hope and eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that we too would share your light and your life with the people around us by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. So God, would you guide us into truth this morning? Would you draw us to Jesus? And would you make your word come alive to us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, whenever I've been to the city of Los Angeles, one of my favorite places to go in that city is a place called Griffith Park. They have an observatory actually on the top of the hill there, and you get an opportunity as you go to this observatory, you can see all the things that are, all the cityscape underneath you. But the Griffith Park actually has a special place in my heart because it's the first place I had a date with my wife, Amy. It was a wonderful, memorable place as we gathered together. She was in Peru serving as a missionary. I was going to seminary in Kentucky, and we both convened, and after 10 years of not seeing each other, it's an amazing story I'll have to share with you some other time. But Griffith Park has a special place in my heart for that reason, and it's an amazing place. But as I mentioned, this, as you get up on top of the hill there, you can see the entire, I shouldn't say the entire, but you can see a lot of the city of Los Angeles. And the whole city, especially when you're there at dusk, it just illuminated with light, and it just is a beautiful place to observe, and it's free, and it's a great place to be. But you know, it's interesting, as we read this passage of Scripture here, Jesus said that we are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That as we go about our business every day, as we go throughout all of our activities throughout the week, that we are the light of Jesus Christ to the world around us, that we must be that light as Jesus has shined bright in our hearts, that we can share his life and his light around us. And friends, our neighbors and coworkers need to see that light in us. They need to see that light through us as we go about our business. And that light will show itself not just when we go through good times. Anybody can be happy when you go through things that are going very well. But when things are difficult, God, in essence, sometimes puts you on a platform where people are watching just how you are going to react to those difficulties that you're facing. And it's often during those times that we have an opportunity to really show the light of Christ, because it's a supernatural thing, because naturally we would have no reason to rejoice. But because of Christ Jesus, he gives us that supernatural grace to go through difficult times. And so the command we see here in the Scripture from Jesus is that we are to let our light shine before people. In other words, be a good and godly example to other people, to point people to Jesus, to help them see Christ in us and through our lives. And you know, we've been talking about this subject and this important reality of hospitality, and we learned in the first week that God is a missionary. In other words, God is the one who sends. He sends us Jesus to rescue and to redeem us from sin. And we also learned from the parables of Jesus that God is like a master that is hosting a great banquet, and he invites people to the table. This is a table of feasting. He says, I want you to go to the highways and the byways. He told a servant this. And so the servant was calling out to everyone and everywhere to be able to invite them to the table of God's kingdom. And so we too are invited to the table, and we're called to invite others to this great feast of banqueting. And so we have great time that we can celebrate together. So we've also seen, as we've talked about several weeks ago, that hospitality isn't optional, that we are commanded in Scripture to show hospitality to others. In fact, the spiritual leaders it talks about in Timothy, we were learning that if they're going to be spiritual leaders, they need and must show hospitality. And also, we're commanded in Hebrews to show hospitality because we might be entertaining angels unaware. So we talked about several weeks ago, we did a survey of the Scriptures and looked at this important subject of hospitality. It isn't optional because we're commanded as Christians to do it. And we talked about last week how we are to love the strangers around us. We looked in the Old Testament Scriptures and saw how it was even within the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, that the Jewish people were commanded to show love and show hospitality to outsiders. And we too need to be aware of the strangers in our midst, the people around us that have need for connection, have the need to feel participants in the community. And so today I want to ask and begin by asking a basic question. If we're called by Jesus to be a light to our neighbors, how do we become more visible to them? This is a very important question that all of us need to ask, because we need to consider, if we're commanded to show love and show hospitality to others, how do we make our light known? How do we shine bright to the people around us? And the key answer to this question is actually found by looking to the example of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to John's Gospel. We're going to go to several different passages of Scripture here this morning. But John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. We're going to, again, look to the example of Jesus and see what he did to come to our rescue. John chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 9. John says this, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." I want to highlight that those last couple verses there, but it mentions there that Jesus, who is the Word, he became flesh. In other words, he is God, but he became a man. So he's fully God and fully man, but he came among us. In other words, what you could say this way, God came to the neighborhood. God came to our neighborhood. He dwelt among us in Jesus Christ. And so there's a big term that Christians use, or a lot of theologians use. It's called incarnation. It literally means embodied in the flesh, or taking on flesh. And this is what God did for us. He took on flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man. And again, this is a basic Christian teaching, actually since the first council at Nicaea many centuries ago. But this is basic Christianity. Yet it's a profound concept to think about, that God would step into time in order to redeem and rescue us and save us from our sins. So when we talk about the incarnation, it means that Jesus tabernacled himself, or he embodied the flesh. He became a man, though he was still God, but he dwelt among us. And in sending his only son into the world, God came to dwell among humanity. And the beauty of the incarnation is that God came to dwell among people. He came to dwell among strangers. This is what God did. And this was a way of his showing hospitality to the world, that we too might be welcomed into fellowship with him through repentance and faith. And so therefore, if we as Christians are going to follow God's example, we too are called to incarnate ourselves or dwell among the people in our neighborhood. We're not called to isolate ourselves and kind of hole up behind garage door openers and sort of sit all evening and watching TV, even though you're probably tired of seeing people after a full day of work, some of us, I get that. But God has still called us, whether in our workplace or in our homes or in our neighborhoods, to let our light shine and to become visible, to let our light shine in that way, to incarnate ourselves, or basically to plant ourselves in the neighborhood. Plant yourselves where a place where you can be visible. I love what Alan Hirsch and Lance Ford said. They said, the church must therefore move into the culture and take the idea of incarnational mission seriously. We must move out into missional engagement. We must move in through the burrowing down into our culture, and we must move alongside by engaging in genuine friendships and relational networks, and we must move from the dehumanizing and sinful aspects of our culture. So we have an opportunity and we have a calling as believers in Jesus Christ to incarnate the gospel, to dwell among people, to become visible, to let our light shine to the people who are around us. And if we look at Jesus, who is the perfect and best example for us as Christians, that he continually burrowed down himself into the culture around him. You know, mentioned on many different occasions that he would eat and feast with people in that culture whom they would deem as sinners. They called them tax collectors and sinners. But yet, even though Jesus did this, he still retained perfect holiness. You know, I've come from certain traditions years ago. They called them holiness traditions, and I'm a firm believer in holiness as believers in Christ Jesus. But oftentimes I've discovered that there's a lot of misunderstanding regarding this, that the idea of holiness, obviously when we think of God being separate from and distinct from us, that is true. But the idea is a lot of these churches and colleges and schools would put themselves in the middle of nowhere, rather than in the middle of the city, and as a result, kind of separating themselves. And there's a place for retreat, and there's a place for separation. But, you know, when we look to the example of Jesus, who is the perfect embodiment of holiness, he planted himself in the middle of the world around him. So yes, we are not called to participate in sin and participate in the activities of the world, yet we're still called to dwell among the world and continue to love people and be a light to them through Jesus Christ. Listen to what Matthew 9:10-12 says. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they were the religious leaders, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Isn't it interesting? We learn from Jesus that we're called to dwell among people. And if we are incarnating ourselves in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our families, we must be engaged with people who actually live differently than us, who actually believe different things than us, who talk and act differently from what we're used to talking about ourselves. And if we want to influence them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to share the truth with them, we must join in with them and get to know them, but not join in the dark things and the sinful things that they're doing. And this is an important distinction that we as Christians must remember. We're called to be holy, but holiness means letting our light shine and putting our light on its stand so that other people can see Christ in us. And the basic question we have to ask ourselves when we're hanging out with maybe a lot of non-Christian friends that we have, are they influencing me? Or am I influencing them? That's an important thing to consider, because if they are influencing you, then that's, you know, it says bad company corrupts good character. There's a sense where you're learning their sins and you're learning their practices. The book of Proverbs talks about becoming friends with an angry person and the danger of this. Listen, it's not a matter of joining them to learn their behavior, but it's joining them so that they can see the light of Christ in us. It's not the question. It's not the real issue of whether or not they're influencing us. We must be influencing them. So the point is, showing incarnational hospitality to others must mean that we're willing to dwell among strangers, to dwell among people who are different from us, whether it be ethnically, whether it be socioeconomically, whether it be any type of different background or distinction. It is to move into the neighborhood and develop relationships with others for the simple purpose of being an authentic witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will say this, I've shared time and time again, we, particularly here in the West, here in the United States, we have a lot to learn from other cultures, because hospitality is a little bit more ingrained in their DNA as a culture. But we as Americans, at least in particular portions of the country, have some things to learn about what it means to love others and show hospitality. So you ask this question, well, how do we show this kind of incarnational hospitality? Well, I'm going to give you four basic things to consider this morning, and you might want to write these things down, but these will help guide us as we consider what God would have each of us do to love the people who are around us. Number one is leave. Number two, live among. And I'm going to go through these so you don't have to write so fast. Leave. Number two, live among. Number three, listen to. And number four, love with no strings attached. Let's tackle these each one by one. The first one is leave. Now, if we were going to look at Jesus' true and perfect example, we have to read passages of Scripture like we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, where Paul says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, yes, even death on a cross." So as we learn from that passage, Jesus humbled himself by incarnating and dwelling among us as a world. He left heaven itself to incarnate himself among us. And there's a principle that we learn from Jesus, that if we want to reach our neighbors, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to place ourselves in a position where we're being willing to be adaptable and moldable to what God's agenda is rather than our own. That we have to be willing sometimes to put ourselves in the vulnerable position, and to leave our comforts. As I shared several weeks ago, when we think of hospitality, it's not just inviting people over to our homes, it's also on the flip side being willing to be invited into the homes of others. As Jesus would send his disciples out two by two, he says, when you go to their homes. So we must be in mind, we must have that mindset as well. You know, I was reading this past week in a Nielsen report, and I was actually really fascinated and dumbfounded by this. But he says, U.S. adults are watching 5 hours and 4 minutes of TV per day on average. That's 35.5 hours per week, 77 days per year. I thought that was really high. 5 hours. I'm like, who are these people? Where do they live? I mean, are they just hibernating in their homes and watching TV all day? Maybe that's you. I don't know. But the point is this. Some of us need to leave our screens, our TV screens, and begin spending time with people. Here's a novelty. Actually spend time with your kids or your grandkids. It's time we leave that. And there's a place for it, but it must have its boundaries. But how are we letting our light shine by sitting in our recliners or playing games on the computer all day? I want to just encourage you, parents, grandparents, be an example to your kids and your grandkids of what it means to incarnate yourself to the neighborhood or to your family and love people. We must be willing to leave our agendas, to leave our own ideas of what we want to do for the whole evening, and be willing to reach out to the neighborhood. If you're working on your car in the garage, pull the garage door open and let, you know, if people are walking by on the sidewalk, wave to them. Make yourself visible. It's sometimes just not necessarily doing everything new or different. It's maybe thinking and considering, how can I make myself more available? Instead of sitting out on your back patio, sit out on your front patio and on a rocking chair and read a book. Whatever it may be, but wave to neighbors. Make yourself known. So leave your own agendas. Number one, leave. Number two, live among. And I will say that Jesus did this regularly. Yes, he had moments of solitude. He had times with his heavenly Father, and we need those as well. Jesus had time with his disciples. He had times with people that were close to him to invest in him. Yes, there do need to be boundaries when we talk about the subject of hospitality. And we're going to get to some of those issues in the weeks ahead, but we're still called to love people. But are you visible in your neighborhood? Are you visible in your workplace? Are you trying to, basically, are you the type that does your work and get me away from these people as soon as 5 o'clock rolls around? Yeah, I understand sometimes people can be very difficult, but you know, sometimes people who deserve love the least often need it the most. And we must be that light and ask God to give us a supernatural love for people that are around us. Maybe it's having a neighborhood picnic or a barbecue or a fall festival or whatever it may be to let your light shine. Maybe it's a play date with the kids and everybody at the local park. You know, Jesus commands us, and he commanded his disciples, for example, in Luke chapter 10, to live among people, to enter their homes. Just to be practical, men, if you like watching football games, go to a neighbor's house and watch the game together. Women, if you like scrapbooking or doing some things like that together, go to your girlfriend's house down the street and do that thing that you enjoy. Just do it with others. Live among people. Become an open book with them. Why? Because Jesus did it. And he incarnated himself right where he was at. That's number two. Number one was leave. Number two, live among. Number three, listen to. I want to say this is actually a very, very important point. You know, you hear the old phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is true. People need to know that you actually care for them. And one of the best ways that you can show somebody that you care for them is to listen to them, to listen to their stories. You know, by listening to people, it helps people feel safe around you, that they can trust you. And that takes time, especially if they've got some baggage in the past where they've been hurt by people and they have a hard time trusting others. But be patient with the process. Listen to people. You know, I love in Luke 24, 15 through 17, there's the story here of Jesus. He's traveling with the two men on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had risen from the grave. It says, while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And what Jesus said to them, what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk? Now notice something that Jesus, he's asking them a question. He's inviting a conversation even in his question asking. He's listening to these two men as they're walking. And Jesus not only was listening to what they said, but the motives that were driving the conversation. Jesus was listening to what was going on into the depths of their soul. Yeah, another example, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, says, and Jesus was setting out on his journey, and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God the Father. Now, there's a lot that was going on in that story, but I want to just highlight something from that quick example. Jesus was listening for motives. He was listening for the deeper issues that were at work. You know, he was driving at this issue of goodness. He was trying to see their understanding of God. He was getting to deeper things. Think for another example in Luke chapter 10, in the story of Mary and Martha, when Jesus is visiting the house and Martha has a complaint. And notice that Jesus listened to her. And then he got to the heart. He said, Martha, you're concerned about too many things. So Jesus had this grace by the power of the Holy Spirit to discern what was going on in people's hearts and minds. And he did this by asking them probing questions, by hearing their stories and listening to them and speaking what God would have to say to them. So hospitality, we need to understand, is not just about talking. In fact, a lot more of it is about listening. We have one mouth, we have two ears. We need to be good listeners. And not just listening to what they're saying, but listening to the things that are going on underneath what they're saying. Listening to the motives that are driving people's thoughts and actions. Listening to the dreams and visions and goals that people have. We need to be listening to them, and we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit would guide us and show us how to share God's word and how to love them and how to care for them. So we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and to people. And finally, number four, love with no strings attached. We're going to talk about this particular one here in a few weeks. But as you look at Jesus, again, who is the ultimate example for us, Jesus' life is marked by love. In fact, he's the embodiment of love. And so whatever he said, whatever he did, it was marked by love. We see, for example, in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, with a rich young man, it says, Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Notice that when Jesus is confronting him, he's doing this out of an attitude of love. Love is a redemptive thing. This is, you know, you think as a parent, the reason why you discipline your children is to be, it's to be redemptive. The purpose is to bring them back to the right standing with you and with the Lord. And this is the loving thing to do because God's love desires redemption for each of us. Sometimes the loving thing is hard for people to hear, but when we speak the truth and when we love people, people are able to receive it much better. And you know, people can spot an agenda a mile away, can't they? I mean, people can spot an agenda. And we can tell if somebody is trying to sell us something, you know, if somebody knocks at the door and they, okay, here we go. It's like you just want to shut the door and don't want to hear the whole spiel of what they're trying to sell. You know, we're people can spot these kind of things a mile away. Pyramid schemes, all these, we usually react to those things. And what our reaction is really, they don't really want to know me, and they don't want to know my story. They just want to sell me something. They just want to get, you know, they just want me to spend money so that I can, you know, they can make their sale. You know, we as Christians do not need a creative strategy or a new pitch. We need the love of Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit of Christ to show us how to love people. Kevin Harney says, outreach is not about a program or a plan. It's about orienting our hearts towards God and letting him lead us. It's about seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit. It's about being ever ready to respond when God opens a door. You know, no two people are alike. You know, people have different circumstances. They have different backgrounds. They have different stories. And so we need to be discerning how the Holy Spirit would guide us as we share the love of Jesus. Sometimes it's listening to their lives. I love what Brad Kallenberg said. He says, evangelism is more like medicine than parallel parking. It's more like medicine than parallel parking. You know, we've been taught, and I've been taught many things about do A, B, C, and D, do all these things, and you know, the Romans Road, and those are all good, and those are all fine to have in the arsenal to know how to lead people to Christ. But if we reduce things to just simply a program or a pitch, people are going to spot that. And there's going to be something inauthentic. Now, we can speak, go through the Romans Road authentically, and God can use that. I don't want to diminish that. But we need to be careful about how, and discerning about how the Holy Spirit would guide us. We cannot reduce evangelism to a method because God can use any number of ways to come to Christ. In fact, if we were to poll and I were to have testimonies here this morning, we would probably, many of us, be sharing different stories of how we came to Christ and through different things that maybe some of us went to a church service and we heard the gospel and received it. Maybe others of us, it would be a friend. For others of us, it would just be God breaking in through a circumstance or a tragedy, and we met the Lord during those difficult times. The point is, God works in different ways in each of us. But our point as Christians is to make ourselves available. Friends, Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. He was willing to leave. He was willing to live among. He was willing to listen to. And he was willing to love with no strings attached. And it was genuine. It came from the heart of God. And what God is looking for in us here at Clay House is he's looking for authenticity, people who are willing to be open and honest about our own stories. You know, some of us spend so much time trying to cover up our past because of shame, because of the things we've done. But if we will allow the Holy Spirit to touch those places that are the most painful for us to remember and talk about, and God would so heal us in those places that those places become an open door for an opportunity for future ministry. Some of the things you're trying to run from, if you would allow the Holy Spirit to heal your heart, that could be a place where God could use you as a conduit by which his grace and power can flow to minister to other people who have gone through similar circumstances. But we want to hide in shame. We want to stand back. But we need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, would you touch me? Would you heal that space and that place in my life so that I might be a light to others? That's authenticity. You know, what I've discovered is that authenticity breeds authenticity. When you make yourself open and honest before others, they feel like they can become safe to be open and honest with you. So I'll return to that question I asked earlier. Are you letting your light shine in your neighborhood, in your workplace? Are you letting your light shine through your attitudes, through your words? I want to just challenge you here this morning to become more visible in your life to those who are non-believers, whether you're talking about in your workplace, whether you're talking about in your family or your neighborhood, to become more visible. And the real question is not how dangerous the stranger is. The real question is how dangerous will I become if I don't learn to become more open? That's where the real danger happens. And your neighborhood is your mission field. Your workplace is your mission field, the people that are around you. Instead of complaining about those people that are around you, say, Lord, would you do a work in my heart so that I can have the grace to let your light shine, yes, even in this dark place. Yes, even in this place where I don't sense anything of you. But Lord, let me be your light and do a supernatural work in me, God, because I'm not feeling this naturally. Holy Spirit, would you fill me so that I can let your light shine and the light of Christ shine? You know, we do mission trips, and those are wonderful. We need to keep doing those. But, you know, it doesn't cost anything for you to walk across the street to let your light shine right where you are, to let the glory of God shine in you and through you, in your neighborhood, school, home, workplace, wherever, to redeem your hangout. To redeem your hangout. You know, actually, one of the reasons why I actually like going to the store and bringing a Bible rather than using my app is because actually I have more people. I've never had a person when I'm reading an app on my phone say, oh, you're reading the Bible. But whenever I come to the restaurant and somebody sees a Bible out there, they can see that I'm reading the Bible. So, you know, if app's all you have, go ahead and read it. But I will say that oftentimes I've discovered, in fact, in Minnesota, I would go to a truck stop, a rest stop along the highway. I just plop down my Bible, and I can't tell you how many truckers stopped by, and we would start talking about the Bible and talking about the Lord. Some of them would share their stories about how they grew up in a church but got away from God, and God worked. So that might be just a simple thing, just taking a hard copy Bible and plopping it down right where you're reading. And again, if phone's all you have, then use it. But I will say that I've discovered in reading a Bible publicly that people are more likely to ask questions because they have no idea what you're seeing on your phone, whether or not it's actually the Bible or not. You know, a number of years ago, my grandmother, she's still alive, she's 93, but she had fell and hit her head and was in serious trouble. In fact, they had to life flight her to a hospital there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my mom and my aunt, her daughters, went to the hospital, and both my mom and my aunt Carol loved the Lord, And they wanted to be a witness. And it was interesting, as they were there at the hospital, how as they began to pray, and as they began to minister to my grandmother and to the people that were around, she was in a room with another person, God had opened a door for opportunities to pray and minister to other people. And you will discover that sometimes when you go through difficulties, God will open the door for new relationships. Relationships that you never would have expected the day or two before something difficult happens. But that those opportunities emerge and the light of Christ would happen. And as they began praying for people in the hospital, other people down the ward heard that there was these two ladies that were praying for people. So they were coming out in the hall asking for prayer. And so my mom and my aunt would just go and they'd just start in each room, just pray for people. And God was doing miracles. But you know, rather than sometimes cursing the situation, and yes, some situations are terrible. There's no denying that. But what I've discovered in the midst of the hells of our life, that the light of Christ can shine so brightly if we were open our hearts and say, God, would you touch my heart? And Lord, would you allow me by your grace to touch the hearts of those that are around me? You know, one of the things you see in Jesus, we talked about here a year or two ago, but in my sermon series, The Sayings of Jesus on the Cross, Jesus was on a cross, but there were two other guys on the crosses on either side. And one of the things when we go through difficulties, we have the tendency to think, I'm the only one on a cross. But friends, sometimes and oftentimes we have to discover and learn that you have to still be on a cross and still minister. Jesus did that. Minister forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Minister adoption. Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. Maybe you're on a cross here this morning. Maybe you're going through something difficult. Yes, God will meet you as you open yourself to him, but remind yourself that there are other people hanging on crosses all around me. And friends, there are people in your neighborhood, and there are people in your workplace. There are people in your family. There are people everywhere. They're going through very difficult times, and if we would just get ourselves out of our own pity sometimes. And we go through tough times. I'm not minimizing that. But to say, God, would you do your work in me and through me? And Lord, help me to incarnate the gospel right here, right now, even when I'm in pain myself. And you know what I've discovered is when you do this, the power of the Holy Spirit will empower you and me to be that light to other people around us. You know, my mom and my aunt, God used mightily, but they were willing to let their light shine even in a place they didn't really want to be, in the hospital. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, I'll close with this passage. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world," just as what we read earlier. "A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on its stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You know, this morning we're going to conclude by receiving communion together, the Lord's table. And if you're a guest here with us, we don't require that you be a member here at Clay House. The only thing we've just asked is that you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, meaning that you've repented of your sin and you put your faith and trust in him. And if you've never done that, I can't think of a better time than now to say, Lord, I want to come to the table. You've invited me. I want to come into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, would you forgive my sin? I want a brand new start. I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior and obey what you've commanded. If that's your heart, you can participate this morning. But you know, this morning the Lord invites us to the table. You know, as we receive the elements, we remember what Christ has done for us, but we also remember that God is a God of hospitality. He didn't have to invite us to the table. But because of who he is, he says, come, all you who weary and are heavy burdened, come. This time I want to invite the elders to come forward as we receive the elements together. We're going to receive the elements together. We're going to have a worship team sing a song, so they're going to distribute the elements. We would ask that you'd hold them in your hands until the song is over, and we'll receive these together. Do note there are two cups. One, the below cup has a little wafer in that. We'll receive everything to the end, but let's ask that the Lord would change our hearts. Maybe you're here today and as you're receiving these elements, you're saying, you know, Lord, forgive me for not being a light as I should be. You know, it's not asking just for forgiveness of sins of commission, but it's also sins of omission. What we failed to do when God commanded us. I think some of us, and I'm going to include myself here, need to repent the fact that we've not let our light shine as we should. And so, in the silence of when you're holding these elements together, we need to ask for grace, the grace of Jesus, to be discerning of how we can be that light to others. Let's receive this when we're ready.